pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the roll call, all council members are present. So we have no minutes this evening. I have some speaker cards here. Looks like a couple of them are under public comment. Michael Kuziak?
Good evening. My name is Michael Kuziak, Castor Valley resident. I was trying to make sense of the county budget and the budget process the other night, and I was taking a look at the agency-specific presentation that they made to the board. And I was just wanted to ask this council to consider, and I know that there's an Eli working group looking at county budget priorities, but how we get from the public work agency or the planning department or even the sheriff's budget proposals, which frankly look more like PowerPoint presentations with a lot of great pictures about a lot of the good stuff they are doing, how does it turn into page 431 of the county budget? It's not very clear to me how those numbers are derived and what the analysis is behind it. So I just wanted to see if there's any way. I know the budget's going to be put in place early June, probably around June 10th or 12th or something. So maybe that could be an opportunity for us to think about a special MAC meeting at some point in the future about how those services are prioritized and how do county agencies communicate to the county administrator the FTE needs for specific programs. And I want to just acknowledge on a county level, there's no object codes or anything like that that really says this is an unincorporated thing that we're doing. And I know that this council has also in the past brought this issue up, but it could be a good opportunity to reflect on that. And I just want to make a shout out to Paul from Nate Miley's staff. Last time I was here, I asked about some issues with the creek and generally the landscaping over there, and he followed up really quickly and took care of it. So I just want to acknowledge that from Nate Miley's office. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Peter Rosen.
Hi. Don't be too surprised, but I'm actually going to say something positive about this process. You know that I've been extremely vocal about the process, and I was really concerned about the selection committee and how this whole thing was going to choose the development and the preferences. I was afraid that it was going to be basically you guys are going to select a single developer and it was going to be rubber stamped at the meeting. I've expressed this to a lot of people pretty vocally. I was kind of Dave Sadoff. I looked back through the minutes, and Dave Sadoff said at that meeting too that it would be nice if there was a workshop and how the process would go through, that how the community have a chance to comment and participate in the decision making. By doing this way, by selecting three quality developers, I think that you've helped and giving the community a chance to actually hear from them without being selected initially. You've got to step that way and help address one of my biggest concerns about the process. Moving forward, I hope that future critical developments will make such an effort. This property has so much potential, and I'm so glad that we have three quality projects like this. I think it speaks volumes about our community, that these kind of projects want to invest in our community. Whatever happens tonight, I want to say thank you to all the developers who want to come here, and I particularly want to thank the two who are not selected tonight. I am hoping that you will choose to continue searching for locations in Castro Valley to invest in, because we can use more projects like this in our community. So thanks.
All right. Okay. Carolyn Darcy, did you want to speak under public comment?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone else that wants to speak under public comment? Okay. Moving on to our one and only agenda item this evening, selection of preferred developer for the Daughtry's building. We're going to start off with a presentation from staff, and Eileen Dalton from Economic and Civic Development Department will start us off. Eileen.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm Elaine Dalton with Alameda County, and glad to see all of you here tonight. I think we need to have a pact about not revealing the score of the game that nobody's at. The fans here that are giving up their evening for this tonight, so thank you. And we'll try to be efficient with the meeting so you can I don't know how long basketball games go. But thank you all for coming tonight. And Kristen, can you go to the next slide for me?
Eileen, I'll just tell you that I do get the score on my iWatch. And if anybody wants to know, they can ask me.
No, we don't want to know, no.
Yeah, no groaning or smiling.
Okay, to those of us with DVRs, we do not want to hear the score. Thank you.
Just saying.
So I'm really thrilled to have everyone back here tonight. Our last time we met was in February. We had quite a large turnout, and I'm really glad that we proceeded. We've tried to get here with a great amount of transparency based on the feedback that we received from the class meeting. And so tonight's goals will be to talk about the selection process for the development tonight. We're going to hear from the three top-ranked development teams. I know you're looking forward to that, so I'll get to them as quickly as I can. Then we're going to have an opportunity for community input on all the proposals. And then lastly, we'll be seeking a recommendation from the MAP to direct us to work with a preferred developer further on in the process. So quickly, as you all recall, we took a different approach this time with our development process. With our RFI, we came up with a more prescribed and specific desired goals for the site. We specifically sought a public-private partnership where we were more interested in achieving the community goals than seeking the highest value and putting a shingle on the building and just selling it in the open market. So that resulted in an RFI that was sent out March 1st. Next. At the meeting on the 22nd, we highlighted concurrence on the goals for this catalyst site in Castro Valley. And really it's that the number one probably speaks the loudest, the development project that offers upscale, high-quality restaurants, food-related and retail uses offering new, unique choices. We also want this to be a catalyst project that will attract new customers and shoppers and diners to your downtown. A project that specifically incorporates the new Paseo. As you can see, it's under construction, and a massive county investment in partnership with their project, with our property partners around the Daughtry's building. The use of that Paseo is very key to the Daughtry's building. We wanted a transformative design with outstanding architecture. We want a highly qualified development team with vision and experience that can really deliver. We know you're all tired of waiting and delays. And again, the public-private partnership. Next. We got six qualified responses to the RFI. They're listed here, and as most of you hopefully have seen, we've posted all of the information from the developers on our website. So you're seeing everything really that our selection committee saw, including presentations made the day of the interviews. We had interviews of all six teams on two different days, May 10th and 12th. We were able to spend an hour of in-depth interviewing with each of the development teams. Next. The selection committee, three of which were our MAC members, Mark, Ken, and Sheila, thank you for devoting quite a lot of your personal time to this effort. It was a lot of work, and then we had county staff as well. And our consultant, ALH Economics, was also there, not as a voting member, but just to provide us with an overview of the sensitive and personal financial information that the selection committee didn't see. Next. Based on those interviews, review of the material, and then the in-person interviews on the 10th and 12th, the selection committee evaluated all six proposals and decided to advance the top three scoring proposals. Main Street Properties was first, Bay Area Urban Development second, and the Aliki and Samson Properties third, and you can see the scores, and they're out here tonight. Next. I won't read all this, but it's the selection criteria that the committee used in evaluating each of the proposals, and they mirror the goals, the development concept, the goals of the project, meeting the RFI goals. Their experience with the public-private process, because we know that Castro Valley is an engaged community, and whoever is selected is going to have to work with the community over and over and over again with open arms. Development experience and development schedule were also critical in their ability to move the project forward. The architecture and design was also key, although this wasn't a beauty contest. We weren't selecting the final design. That would be the job of the MAC through a site development review process. So keep in mind that ultimately the design will have further review. And then lastly, financial capacity. All right, next. So the selection committee, taking in all that criteria, really focused in, and this was based on what, how many years have we been working on this project? 10 years, a couple of stalled, failed attempts, is that we're really seeking, and we were so pleased to get so many proposals to actually struggle over. There were so many excellent teams that came forward. And as Peter said, we hope all of them keep their eye on Castro Valley, because we met some really great people. But we really were looking, the selection committee was really focused on a contingent pre-project, the one that could meet the current zoning, has secured tenants for a significant amount of the space, has funding in place, and can park the project under a shared parking agreement. I bring up the shared parking agreement because this project sits in the middle of a massive county investment, our $4.8 million shared parking project that we've worked on since it went back and made the notes and started talking about it at the MAC in 2006. We didn't anticipate residential. Two of these proposals tonight have residential component to the project, and it really wasn't anticipated. It's allowed in the zoning, but it wasn't anticipated in this commercial building. We expected it to be reused as commercial, and so the shared parking agreement, which has been signed, really dictates the shared use of the parking. And in order to add the residential components, there's a need to amend that agreement. That's just a quick look at the plan. If we need to refer back to where the paseo is and where the improvements are located, that's the plan that will be finished at the end of the summer. So quickly, a summary of the top three ranked proposals, and you're going to hear from all of them tonight. Number one, Main Street Properties is a retail-only project featuring 24,000 square feet of a department store of food. The first floor features an organic specialty grocer. They're about 4,000 square feet of that 24, not the whole space, with stalls and kiosks and a variety of food uses, including a restaurant on the main floor that would access the paseo, and also a restaurant proposed for the basement. The second floor, some mezzanine area, would feature more services like cooking school, yoga, Pilates, salon, and they meet the requirements of the shared parking agreement. The second proposal, Bay Area Urban, is a mixed-use project with 8,750 square feet of retail on the ground floor and 9 market-rate residential for rent units on the second floor. They've identified all their tenants, the Mexican restaurant, CV Tap House, and Journey Coffee, and have added an additional courtyard that would access the paseo. The basement is proposed to be used for non-tenant storage and would require some type of land use amendment, because storage isn't allowed in this particular location, and this is kind of custom storage. And then lastly, the parking for the residential units would require amending the parking agreement because they would have residences park in the shared parking lot. And the next one is the Sampson Properties. We always call it a Leakin because we have known their Leakins for so long. They've proposed a mixed-use project as well with 11 to 12,000 square feet of ground floor retail, restaurant, wine bar is the concept, some retail, additional retail tenants, and they've identified Henry's Coffee. The second floor and third floor would include second floor 12 to 14 market rate residential units for rent and 8 on the third floor. The restaurants would share a direct access to the paseo. And then the parking they proposed to put in the basement, which would park the residential, but it would require removing several parking spots from the shared parking lot, which would trigger some kind of amendment for the parking agreement. So what are the next steps once we're through the meeting? Hopefully tonight we're back, we're going to recommend the developer, ECD, which is our department, would then negotiate what we call an exclusive right to negotiate, or ERNA. with the preferred developer. They're usually 60 to 90 days long, depending on how we agree with the developer. And that's a period of time for us to ensure that we really do have a deal with our preferred developer and that we have a sort of deal points to move forward with a development and disposition agreement. Part of the ERNA will require our preferred developer to engage the community with additional community meetings. Once the ERNA is approved, we'll come back to the MAC several times, but at the very least, we'll come back with the draft development and disposition agreement. We'll also go to incorporated services, and ultimately the Board of Supervisors will approve both the ERNA and the DDA through a public hearing process. And then that would start and allow the preferred developer to start the planning department's site development review process, which you're all used to, and will be before the MAC as well. Next. In conclusion, we were really pleased, I think everyone was, with the robust response to our RFI, and it really is consistent with the amount of interest and phone calls that we get. Most of you know Susan McHugh, sitting right here, our Economic Development Manager, and Kristen Peralt, who's running the PowerPoint. Susan gets calls all the time about Castro Valley. There's such a strong interest, and this just shows that we're ripe for this type of development. The project really will capitalize on the investment the county's making, and really will help achieve the goals for the downtown, whatever we do tonight. So, next slide. With that, we're going to have a little transition as we go through these presentations. The Sampson properties first, then Bay Area Urban and then Main Street, about 10 minutes each. And we're going to have Feely can start first.
Good evening, everybody. As Kristen is queuing up our proposal, I want to introduce myself. I'm Sean Leakey, and here representing Sampson properties. First of all, I want to thank the MAC, Eileen, and her department, ECD. You know, I feel very lucky and humbled to be included in this process and have come this far. I know you guys have put tirelessly a lot of work, and we've been to, so far, all the MAC meetings involving this property and project over the last several years. So I think the community can really rest assured that we have three viable proposals that are going to move forward and something's going to happen with this building. I'm confident that all three developers, including ourselves, are very confident and can deliver something that Castro Valley is going to be very proud of for years to come. Ready? Okay, so that's our lovely downtown Castro Valley and the look of the village. I believe circa, someone who's older can let us know, but circa 1960s, 70s, I believe. Kristen, next slide, please. So we're Sampson's Properties. We specialize in real estate development and management. Mm-hmm. Here in Castro Valley, we've been around since 1977. We're about as local as it gets. Every single person, a member of Sampson's Properties, is born and raised here. I went to high school here. We specialize in local and commercial residential properties, specifically on Castro Valley Boulevard. So if anybody knows the demographic in the market, it is us. One of the things about this project that I can't stress enough is there are two big components here. What's going to make the community happy and what's going to make our fellow merchants happy. And we're community and merchant-oriented developers. We don't want to displace anybody. We don't want to make their lives, their jobs, their enjoyment of our downtown area any more difficult. So we want to be complimentary in what we do here with this property for them. This isn't a standalone project. Castro Valley is in a population of 1 or 5. It's a population of 60 to 70,000. We want to try and include as many people as possible, and we're engaging the community. We've done so in the last few weeks, and I've spoken to many people, and I want to thank a lot of you guys for showing up here tonight. Next. So Sampson's Properties is the lead developer. Sampson's Properties, if we are chosen to move forward, will take ownership of the property as one entity. These are our development partners, Performa Construction, headed by and President Jeff Antrim, his representative. Dan is here today. Now, Performa Construction has done numerous mixed-use projects like this. They bring a very robust resume with them. They just finished the Hive out in Oakland, which is a mixed-use project. Much larger than this. They also, the Hive has numerous businesses, one of them being the Impact Hub, one of them being Drake's Dealership, if anybody has ever been out there, the big brewery restaurant. It's an offshoot of the Drake's Brewery in San Leandro. Our architect is Barron Studio Architecture. Matt Barron is here. He brings a lot of experience in doing adaptive reuse projects, which is what this building is. We're not proposing tearing down the building. We're proposing retrofitting it, bringing a catalyst and transformative building to that location. And Matt Barron and his young and energetic team is going to do that for us. And Fremont Bank, they are one of the largest local banks here. They love financing local projects. I'd like to thank Gene Anderson for being here as a representative of Fremont Bank. He's going to finance this project. He's very interested in seeing, as a local Cache Valley community member here, he lives here and has been here for what, about 10 years or so. He's very pleased to see something finally get done with this building. So this is what the Daughtry's building used to look like back in its heyday. I'm not sure if that's either a homecoming parade or a Rowell Ranch rodeo parade. And this is what it currently looks like. Everybody that's here tonight, I'm pretty sure, knows what the building currently looks like. I've been in that building when it was Daughtry's, bought my first pair of Levi's there. Been in it when it was a pool hall. Been in it as every single one of the Spirit or other Halloween stores that that building is occupied or has housed. So we know that something needs to be done there. What we're proposing is a mixed-use project. This is transformative, a catalyst project. Matt Barron came up with the design. It pays homage to the Dodge, the history of the Daughtry's building. We're a very proud community here. I don't know if Ernie Daughtry showed up, but his family built this building back in the 60s, I believe 65. What Matt decided to do is maintain the awning there, but wrap it in different material, punch a lot of holes, breathe new life in this building. We're not just putting a facelift and an awning and paint on this. It's going to be a very extensive project while still maintaining some of the characters and the history of this building. Next. Facial view, and by the way, I just want to stress that all the color palettes, the textures, all that stuff is up for discussion. Being as a local community member, I know that the county community owns the building right now. You guys are the ones who should have the most say as to what happens with the building. So if you say we'd like to see something else, and you know there's an overwhelming support for a different texture, a different roof line, something else, we're willing to do that, as long as things are economically feasible. So what we have on the first floor here is on the left side of the building where the Paseo is, and Chris, if you're the next slide, I think it'll highlight a little bit better. Where the Paseo is there is going to be a restaurant, a very large restaurant, a brewery-style ale house, which is what this community has been begging for a very long time, family-oriented. Something that caters to people of all ages, $10 to $15 plates, 30 to 40 beers on tap, closes at around 11 o'clock, so we don't want to disturb the residents that live behind there, we don't want to promote drunkenness in the boulevard, and that's going to activate the Paseo. The Paseo is not going to activate this restaurant. The restaurant's going to activate the Paseo. And these are some of the options. If anybody ever has been to Auburn Ale House or First Street Ale House out in Livermore, Buffalo Bills over in Hayward, that's exactly the concept we're thinking of. Okay, we're working with three different proprietors that want to open that restaurant in that location. I myself used to own a bar on the boulevard back in 2000, 2005. I know the demographic. I know things have changed a little bit since then. But we will make it a successful, vibrant, robust place to go where people are proud and people are happy to call this a hometown. And no longer say we go over the hill to spend our money because there's no restaurants in town. We want them to stay here, and we want this to be complimentary to all the other merchants. I know Kathy Newton is here from the Ice Creamery. We want people to eat here, go buy ice cream at her place, go shop with the merchants across in the village, go do other things elsewhere. We want this to be a restaurant that doesn't compete with other local businesses, but complements them. Next. On this side, this is the western corner of the building, where the parking lot entrance will be. That's going to be a coffee shop. We have Henry's House of Coffee out of San Francisco that wants to relocate here and expand their operations to the East Bay. We've also heard of Fry for Phil's Coffee. A lot of people like Phil's Coffee. We can attract Phil's Coffee if you want. I've spoken to them as well. The options are limitless. If the community wants some, I'm going to try my best to go out and get it. We also have Two Wives Wines, which wants to open a wine bar along with the Paseo on the back side of the Ale House. As a separate business from the Ale House, but also will have access to the Paseo and access to the Ale House. It will not be a bar, a drinking establishment that's open until 2 a.m. It will not be something that promotes public drunkenness. It will be somewhere where we can go, we can gather, people who want wine can go and enjoy themselves and take pride in this place. And also it will be a public meeting place. We've had a very strong cry for public meetings. I myself was trying to organize a public meeting the other day. I couldn't find anywhere. I had to reach out to the Moose Lodge. Luckily, Bob Perron at the Moose Lodge took me in. But there's very limited public meeting space in this town. The library closes at 8 o'clock, I think, or 6 o'clock on most nights. It's only open on Mondays and Tuesdays. So we'd like to make that available for a public meeting place. This is the layout of the commercial portion, the first store of the property. Basically, you have the restaurant that opens up to the Paseo, and I apologize if the restaurant is spelled incorrectly, I didn't realize that until later. The wine bar, retail. Now, the two retail centers, the spaces you see on the lower left corner across from the wine bar and next to the lobby, we reached out to Alameda County Sheriffs. They have local grow gardens all around the Bay Area. At the suggestion of a very influential community member, he said reach out to them and see if they're interested in finding a retail outlet for their groceries. So we're proposing a farm-to-table fresh produce stand there, something on the small scale, not a grocery store, not something that's going to have a humongous amount of traffic, but we lost Sprouts up the street. Maybe someday they'll come back, but we lost Sprouts. We need somewhere where people can go besides just Trader Joe's and not even Safeway. Those are all good options, but we need more options. And something that works in conjunction with the sheriff and their need to have a retail outlet to sell their goods. And here in the center, Chris, can you go back real quick? What we're doing there is, if you see where the lobby is, Matt Barron decided to come up with, that is the existing entrance on the boulevard underneath the awning and canopy for the Daughtry's building. He said, let's keep it. Let's use it. It's in a great location. Let's turn it into a lobby and a circulation spine for the building. So it'll be an elevator shaft there, stairs going up. We have stairs for egress also in the wine bar area that go down through all three floors. One of our proposals is a ramp down to the garage. One of the things about our plan that makes it unique is we're picking up about 20 parking spaces in the basement for the residential. So we have a ramp there. Now we do understand that that's going to require the removal of about 3 parking spaces in the shared parking program, but I've reached out and spoken and had extensive conversations with the other members of the shared parking program, and I believe they're all on our side, so we can get cooperation there. I hope so. I don't want to put words in their mouth. Numerous ones are here. Many of them are here tonight. But I do believe that is a non-issue to amend the parking program if that's what's holding this up. So this is the elevation. Let's focus on retail here for a little bit. This is the elevation from the top of the building looking eastern from the western corner. We proposed 10 to 12 units of residential on the second floor, 6 to 8 units of residential on the third floor. Now, currently, there isn't a third floor there at the location. But there's precedent for third floors on the boulevard because Lucas Deli has a third floor back there. The eyesore of a old Remax building across the street has an elevation of 3 stories. And the reason being, and I'll get to the reason for this, but there's also a patio there that's only accessible to residents. So it won't be an outdoor patio that's accessible to all the community. It'll only be accessible to the residents, but it's going to bring light to this building. 365 days a year, 24/7. And the property is already zoned for that. There's no need for variances or any other amendments to any land use contracts or anything like that. So here's the benefits of adding residential. The building's gonna be more successful long-term. This isn't a 5-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 10-year plan. This is a 50-year plan, if not more. We want this building to be viable long-term. When we add residential to a building, it subsidizes the rents on the commercial floor. So in periods of down economy, you know, when you have to lower the rents to get butts in seats and occupancy in your commercial spaces, the residential on the top pays the bills and your operating expenses, and you can lower the rents enough to where commercial tenants are not priced out of the market because they're wanting to pay $4 a square foot or $5 a square foot like other buildings in town. The sweet spot cash value is about $2 to $2.50 a square foot. So residential is also going to add foot traffic on CB Boulevard.
Sean, can you wrap it up? You're running off. You're over 10 minutes at this point.
So we're going to increase foot traffic on the boulevard with residential. You have people there that are a captive audience to shop with the residents, the merchants, and it takes cars off the road. A residential notoriously has a smaller footprint for vehicles on the road. We want to create a transit-oriented development, and we want less in and out of traffic out of that parking lot. That parking lot, the entrance to Castro Valley Boulevard, is on Castro Valley Boulevard, is only accessible if you're driving eastbound. Not accessible. You can't make a left-hand turn driving westbound. You actually have to go down 2 or 3 streets to Anita, I believe it is, before you can make a U-turn and come back. Residential eliminates that. We want to shrink the footprint of the commercial so that you don't have as much in and out traffic, but you have people who are staying there and getting out of their cars and walking and patronizing the merchants. I'll breeze through this really quickly. We want to work with a VPAC. We want to do covered bicycle parking. We want to promote bicycle and pedestrian traffic on the boulevard. We've also explored city lift parking. They designed 2 parking programs for us. You can go to the next. So instead of using our ramp idea, we can use a city lift parking system, which will turn the basement, will eliminate the ramp and eliminate the need for ventilation, and we can either have 23 spaces with one design or up to 37 to 40 spaces with another design. That's going to really ease it for make it easier for the other merchants and surrounding businesses and not congest their parking lot. I hate to see the ice creamery go out of business because they have no parking. Next. This is a rough budget. We can just breeze through it. We're looking at spending roughly $8 to $10 million on the property, so it's not a facelift. It's an extensive remodel. Taxable revenue for the county, property taxes are going to go up as the building is going to get assessed a lot higher when you add the residential units. Our timeline for the project, 2 years after completion, after selection is when we anticipate this project being completed and fully occupied. And last but not least, this is what happens when you have a plan in Castro Valley, or when you fail to plan, or you plan to fail, however the saying goes in Castro Valley. You end up with something like this. Who knows the eyesore here? Only the local candidate knows the eyesore here. That's what happens. We spent, what, $80,000 on that, and it's in the Caltrans warehouse. We're probably auctioned off on eBay for pennies on the dollar. What we bring to this project is local, local, local. I will meet with each and every single one of you guys and ask you for your input and deliver on my promise. I will not put my name and my family's name on this building if I couldn't deliver. And in teaming up with Performa Construction, Barron Studios, and Fremont Bank, I will deliver a project in 2019 that's fully occupied that each and every single one here in this room can take pride in and patronize. Thank you for your time.
Very good, Sean. You're a hard man to interrupt.